What is up, everybody? Ante Kvartuč here, CroatianSports.com, unedited, uninterrupted, with my best two soccer buddies, Ante Zoric, Pete Novakovic. Matt Lebo is unavailable today. Hope he's doing well out there. Boys, let's get right to the point. We qualified for Euro 2024 automatically in Germany next summer. We're in pot C, but it wasn't pretty. But what were you telling me? What was the banner that they had at Maksimir today when we qualified, Zodic, which was hilarious, I thought.
Was it najbolji kad smo kad je najteže? Something like that, right?
I think they're getting it. I think they're getting
it. It's pretty funny.
But look, why do we always have to make things difficult? Why?
I guess it's our mentality, I think. I mean, I don't know why else. I mean, there's no reason why, even with our B team, you should be able to beat, you know, Turkey and Wales. I just think that's how much quality we have. But Dalic obviously made some mistakes against Turkey and Wales. And I knew he was going to bounce back. I said it on the podcast after. He's going to figure things out, and he's going to make it right.
And it is right now.
Listen, we got lucky. Armenia did us a huge favor tying Wales. That lifted a big, big, big weight off of our shoulders. And we were able to control our own destiny, which
we did.
Which in the end, we got the two wins, and here we are.
And that's that. And I'm kicking this over to you, Pete, and Coach Beard, calling you Coach Novakovic over here. Welcome back to the pod. We're episode 12. Yeah. We're inching along.
Yeah.
We got to figure out this remote thing. But you know what? If we're doing this remote, we can't cheers each other. We got the rakia going, we got the domacha, thanks to Ujoyoso there and Gorica.
It's a nice excuse to get together.
There you go.
Sure. Exactly right.
And look, we qualified. That first things first, we qualified.
Yeah, congratulations.
Our little Croatia. Can I get a little
13? That's 13 tournaments out of 15, guys.
We've missed two tournaments in our history.
That's pretty unreal.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And we'll look. You could go bad cop.
Luka Modric is ninth tournament, guys.
That's crazy.
Ninth major tournament.
You know what was interesting? There was some similarities today. You know, they talked about it during the game, and I listened to this, and it kind of stuck in my head a little bit. Armenia has been playing as a free country since 1991. Has not qualified for anything since 91. Mm-hmm. You know, so think about that.
And their population, I think, is about. It's like 3-4 million. It's close to us.
I think it's close to us. So they're very similar to us as far as characteristics and when the country was free. Yet, again, we've qualified for all these tournaments and they've qualified for none.
Look, I talked to Stipe Miocic's nutritionist, Biondic in Toronto.
Yeah.
He goes, the Croatian DNA and the Croatian gene is a real thing. It's a real thing. And then you put us with, you know, the war and, you know, having to put your back to the wall and coming from that and everything. But... because that's a real scientific thing with high meat diets and that kind of stuff. I go, oh shit! I thought we were just joking on the message boards. He goes, no, it's a real thing. So I don't know how much that comes into play with it, but when you put, you know, the nitty gritty to the wall, coming out of a war, plus with these guys that are built like Ivan Drago's, except for Luka Modric and me. I mean, everyone else is fucking 6 foot or plus around
it,
here.
When you think about it, we were. People, a tribe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure we were fighting our way through where we settled, and then we were defending that land ever since the 7th century. So, I mean, it's in us, right? That warrior mentality.
Innate.
Yeah.
Right.
Innate. So when you say, oh, there's other countries that are 4 or 5 million, I mean, that's fine, but it's not the same.
No.
Well, no, it's not the
It's not the same.
Everybody brings something else to the table, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
and, you know, what we bring to the table, and what I've always appreciated about, you know, the Croatian national team and just the Croatian nation as a whole, you know, in any kind of competitive sport, whether it be water polo, basketball, soccer, you know, handball, you know, we come in, we fight, we battle. I mean, and I think everybody expects a Croatian team that's going to battle. I think where we get a little bit off track is when we feel like, as fans, as supporters, when we feel like the team's off track, when we feel like there's not that intensity, there's not that grittiness.
We lose our shit.
That heart, that fight.
Right.
We didn't really see that those two games we lost. I felt like that, I don't know, what do you call it? Zelja, whatever the you know?
Yeah.
The fight. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what pisses off the most, because if right. you go out there and fight and lose, it's going to happen.
Right.
But we got outplayed and we got outrun and out just, we just didn't deserve it.
Which is
and that's when it hurts.
Right. That hurts because yeah. it's not in our character. It's uncharacteristic for us. And so when it does happen, I think we all get a little bit disappointed. Listen, at the end of the day, you know, we're all happy and excited that we got through. You know, we're always a team, as we said earlier to ourselves, that, you know, we make it to a tournament and then the tournament becomes crazy for us.
Sure.
You know, we have a great run. I mean, I'm hoping this is the case. Again, I said this in the last cast. You know, this to me is Luka Modric's send-off. This is the last time he'll be wearing
a Croatian. Maybe. Luka 2026, buddy. Luka 2026.
You know what? I know you asked him that question. He laughed. And but I...
He's planting a seed. That's all.
Listen. Luka, what Luka's done, he is a Croatian legend forever. The best, probably, Croatian player that's existed. And that's not, you know, putting down anything on Šuker and
Boban
and Prosinečki. Yeah. Great players. You know, but I mean, what Luka's done has been unbelievable, and what he's doing at the age of 38 and still at Real Madrid, and you know, he's getting less playing time now.
He's 38 years old. That's ancient.
That's ancient.
That's ancient in what he's doing.
It's ancient for a midfielder.
But look. I'm gonna Pete. I'm gonna read some texts that you were sending the group chat here during the game today. I'm playing good cop. I'm playing good cop today. Because you know what I said. You know what I said a month ago on the podcast. I wrote it. I put myself out there. I go, Wales stinks. They're not getting 6 points in November. They did not. They got 2 points.
Yep.
And I go, we're going to control our own destiny, and we qualified. When we're in June, and we know what pot we're in and what group we're in and we're playing, no one's going to be like, well, we played like shit 6 months ago. No one cares. Qualify. We qualify for every tournament minus two.
You're starting
That's
a new
all
chapter.
That matters.
That's it. You're moving that's forward. It. You're starting a new chapter. So, you focus on your opponents that you have in front of you, and that's it.
And historically, it's true because – you know, when we qualified for Russia, we qualified
the hardest
way in the world.
That was our worst qualifying campaign ever.
And in the worst conditions.
We had to go to Ukraine that last game and win.
Right.
Kramaric 2 goals.
Right.
And then the playoff.
The playoff, yeah. And so.
And then look, you qualify, you don't qualify.
We got there, right.
We're in the same boats as the Englands and the Belgiums and the Portugals that dropped, I think, 4 points together the whole qualifying campaign. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a new season with new players, new injuries or less injuries to take care of. But look, we are 10 minutes in the game. I have a timestamp right now, Pete, from you today. 10 minutes into the Armenia match today. And you go, we need to score in the next 10 minutes. Our attack looks so toothless. You had zero patience today.
Zero. You know why? Because against teams like Latvia and Armenia, you have to do that. You have to score goals, and you have to command that game right from the get-go. And that drives me crazy about us sometimes is because, you know, it's you know what? It's like that mosquito buzzing around your head at night. You got to kill it because you're never going to get a good sleep if you don't kill it.
I know, I agree with you. Of course you want to score as fast as possible and score a second
one.
Because you don't want to give the other team hope.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them hope.
And that's what we did. We gave them hope and they had their chance.
Yes.
And you knew they were going to get one chance during the game. And thank God that Livakovic saved it. The guy did not take a great shot. It was right at, you know, above Livakovic's head.
He owes us one staying in goal. He owes us to, like, stay in the box for one shot. He did for that
there.
One.
He hesitated.
He still scares us.
Look. He made the right decision.
Look, what he did in Qatar at the World Cup, insane, just like Subasic did.
Right.
I still don't trust the fucking guy.
Well, the problem is I think he's confident now, and now he thinks he can do whatever he wants. Well, you can't go that far either. There's got to be some medium, right?
He got a hand on the ball. He saved us.
I mean, what he did against Turkey was absolutely inexcusable, to run 30 yards out of your goal when the guy's got the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Get back. Wait for the guy. Maybe somebody can catch him. If not,
especially if you have a defender.
Try to close his angle
off.
Right. I mean, defender, you can't just get chipped like that. That was very poor.
Look, that was a disaster of a month last month in October. And we did what we needed to do. We got 6 points and we got... help Wales drew in Armenia, and then they drew today at home.
I think we should talk a little bit about Dalic's changes, right? He tried Guardiola left back. It did not look good. He played very poorly against Latvia.
I know, but
off.
If you're gonna look,
he was off.
If you're gonna,
he was off.
This is what I hate about this. Yeah. We played Latvia and Armenia this
okay,
week.
But
you know what I mean.
But,
so we have to wait
it
correctly.
Dalic changed that. Okay, he put Guardiola central. he pushed Sosa left because Sosa's a crosser of the ball, and he knew that Armenia was going to be all pushed back. And I know Pete said that Sosa had maybe a lot of poor crosses, but he had the one that counted, that hit Budimir in the head, and we won 1-0.
He was 1-for-10. He was batting 100 today.
So we can say that was the correct decision. Right? And Budimir was huge for us. I mean, to have a big target man up there, we haven't had that in a long time.
If Budimir gets service, he can head the ball. That's what he's been doing in La Liga.
You guys know I've been pushing Budimir propaganda for a long time.
Cue the music and the confetti. You're the president of the Budimir fan club.
Yeah. This is a guy that he called, I think, 4 strikers. The last when we had all those injuries
in October,
and he didn't call Budimir, and I couldn't wrap my mind around it. How you could call a guy like Bello, who's not playing in Germany, over a guy that's playing doing really well
and scoring
in
goals.
Spain.
Actually,
it didn't make any sense.
And then when I looked at some of the stats, and I think one of you guys sent them to me, that you know Budimir is like the 4th or 5th highest goal scorer the last 2 months in Europe.
He's got it.
Oh no! Let me give you a stat track.
There it is.
He's tied with Griezmann, Morata, Moreno.
A lot of guys with seven goals.
Only one person in La Liga has more goals than Budimir, and it's Jude Bellingham at Real Madrid. Wrap your head around that stat now.
Then he should be on the
field. And then he had an international goal. He scored a second goal for Croatia today. And guess what? It was a winner.
Right.
And it comes from Sosa, who couldn't cross anything for the past 3 years.
If you're playing like that, you should be in the national
team. Listen, guys, we talked about this earlier, Ante, when I got here.
Oh, I know where you're going right now, and I'm already nervous for everyone. Because I agree with you.
I like Kanamaric playing as that second striker. I think that he gives us a different dimension in attack when he's playing off of that big striker, meaning that maybe we don't need Kovacic in the starting lineup, even when he's healthy.
Amen. I've been saying this for 4 years. I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir right now. Continue.
I think Modric, Brozovic, and Kovacic are all similar profiles. When we had Rakitic there, he's a different player than those other guys. He's more offensive. He can score with both feet. He shoots. Kovacic, he naturally likes to come back for the ball. He doesn't naturally move forward and get between the lines like Krama, even a guy like Vlasic we talked about, who's not in the best form. But Maier does that too. He gets between the lines. I'm just trying to figure out what is Dalic going to do when Kovacic is healthy. Is he going to start him? I was telling Ante, if he's healthy, I think he's an automatic starter, and that's a problem.
I hate it.
That's a problem.
I hate it.
I think, and we've always had this, Pete, we've always had this credit system in the Croatian national team where a guy by his name, he starts. And I really don't like that.
I don't like it either. No. I think the problem we have with that is that, you know, so how much say does Luka have and how much say does Dalic have at the end of the day? And Luka and Kovar are attached
to the
hip.
They're best friends.
Can you bench a starter at Manchester City?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
You could. You could do anything if you're the national team coach, but...
Does he have the balls to do it?
No, he doesn't. This is unpopular opinion across the board. I know because I've been telling everyone this, and I'm on the Zoric bandwagon for this one. There's nothing Kovacic can do on the field with Croatia that Modric doesn't do already. He just backtracks. He plays more defensive-minded than offensive-minded. We need someone that's going to run at you like a Vlasic, like a Kramaric, like a Maier.
I just, watching Kovacic when he was 18, 19, 20, he was like fearless. He would just go at people. He would beat people, open up the game. And you see that every once in a while. But for Croatia, for watching him, a lot of the times I just see him kind of like jogging, kind of lost on the field. He doesn't really make an impact, you know?
Right. Right.
I see him 1 out of 5 games. He'll have that Turkey game where he'll have an amazing game.
It's not enough.
But then he'll go 3 or 4 games. Nishta. Nothing. Offers nothing.
Zoric.
I hate that gap that's left in the midfield when all three of them are just like doing those little touches next to each other.
Well, he passes the ball back more to Gvardiol and Livakovic than anything else.
What I'm afraid of is Dalic is going to want to start Kramaric, and he's going to want to start Kovacic, and he's going to want to start Budimir, so he's going to push Budimir up top. He's going to push Krama right.
Do you think Budimir...
And Kovacic in the middle.
Hold on.
And I don't know how this is going to...
Do you think Budimir is going to be our starting striker at Euro?
For me, I like having a target man, and I prefer him to Petkovic. That's my opinion, and I've said this for a long time.
Mm.
I like.
So wait, guys. So let's. So cause that's a good point because I see like almost a young man Jukic in Budimir. He's going to fill out a little bit. He's a strong kid.
Budimir is ancient. He's 33.
Whatever. But
he's not our future.
I'm saying
he's got the characteristics.
He's a young kid for the national team. He hasn't played a lot for the national team, so he's a rookie national team player.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of matches for the national.
Right. So, but
19.
But let's talk about
19 caps.
Let's talk about this, guys. So, what's really hurt us in this campaign this last couple of months is injuries.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not having Perisic.
Okay. So let's go down the list. So we have Orsic.
Yeah. Injured also.
Knee injury.
Perisic.
Same knee injury. They're on the same.
We even had Ivanušić out. Who is
Petkovic?
Yeah.
Petkovic.
Yep.
Also injured.
Injured.
Yeah.
Kova injured.
Kova injured for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Couple weeks.
Yeah.
Vlasic just technically got picked up a knock.
How much did those injuries hurt us, guys? Let me ask you that. How much do you
in October?
Yeah.
Or
not having Perisic and even I think Kramaric wouldn't have.
Oh, we lock up qualifying last month.
We didn't have Krama either for those two
right.
games.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kramaric.
So Kramaric, no Perisic, no Kramaric. How much did that hurt us in October?
100%.
I think they hurt us a lot, but I also think Dalic made mistakes by calling and starting the wrong players.
Who's right? Number one? Who's number one on your list there?
I mean, for me,
on your public enemy list,
I think it was a huge mistake starting Musa. Like, I mean, you have a bench player at Benfica. You have a guy like Roko Šimić, who I've talked about also. I think for us right now, our best true number nine target men, strikers, are Budimir and Šimić. That's what I think.
Šimić hasn't even been called up to the national team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yet.
We have to see what he can do. We have to see if he can.
I'm shocked Dalic didn't call him up. I didn't not to say play him.
Yeah. Just
call
him
up. Let him hang out with Sučić. Let him hang out and just kind of be in the thick.
That's it. Let him get to know the players. Let him feel that atmosphere. Give him 10, 15 minutes like he gave Baturina.
Yeah.
Like he gave Sučić. Why not throw Šimić in there?
I know. I don't know. I don't know. Where do you think Dalic's head is at? Budimir is not our future. Petkovic isn't our future.
I don't understand how a guy like Beljo is ahead of him in the pecking order. That's what I don't understand.
Plays in the Bundesliga. But
okay,
he's
playing in
Beljo had a hot last year for about a month and a half. He's coming off the bench for Augsburg now.
I think that Šimić, we need to see what he can do.
Give me your top three strikers in your pecking order right now.
Well, I mean, everyone talks about Kramaric as a forward, but for me, I just don't see him as a true number nine. Top forward.
He's not a nine.
I mean, how great was it today actually having a guy up there that could actually hit the ball?
Fantastic.
Listen, Kramaric is a shorter guy. When you have Budimir in there and Kramaric in the box, you have two guys trying to get on those crosses. It's different than having just one guy there.
You got to get the service there. And we did it without Perisic. Sosa was probably 10 to 15% on his cross in the box. A couple were horrible
there.
It
hurts us not having a winger on the right, too. I mean, Maed is not he's not a winger. You know, he can't cross the ball with his right. He has to cut. Every time he crosses the ball, he has to cut to his left and do that. You know,
let's talk about right wings right now. Let's talk about our boy from Rijeka.
We talked about Marko Pašalić. He looked great today. I mean, he's a natural winger, you know, and that's what we've been missing in this team.
He played, 20 minutes against Latvia? He played another 15 today. He's playing with some swag. He's playing with energy. He should have scored. He should have scored against Latvia inside of the post, missed by 2 inches.
In the few moments he had the ball today, he was going at players. It was really nice to see. Confident.
And that's something that I think we missed.
Yeah.
I when I was watching the game today, you know, we do everything around the box and outside the 18, but there's not one player that says, okay, I'm going to take the bull by the horns, I'm going to go at somebody.
No one does that.
No one does that on our team.
We haven't had that player since probably like a Rakitic, really. Perisic does it on the wing.
Perisic does it on the left.
On the wing, but he doesn't go up the middle.
But we haven't. Who's been a right winger since Nebic? Guys, he's tried 5, 6 different players in that position.
No one's stuck.
We don't have.
You have to attack in the box.
Yeah.
Because you have to force them to defend you. And you have to force the defense to collapse on you. So then you have guys open.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just stand around the 18 and knock the ball around there, I mean, you could do that all day long.
Yeah, when you have 10 guys behind the ball, it's really hard to get through that.
Absolutely.
You know?
So you have to go. You have to go. Listen,
you got
to
win balls.
If you beat somebody in the box and they take you down, it's awkward.
Penalty.
You know, but you know, nobody even did that. Nobody did that today.
Look, this generation, like Modric, was never that player. He's
not
he's
that
the
player.
Engine. Rakitic was that player. Kovacic hasn't stepped up to it. Maier is being played on the wing, like you said, Zoric. He's not a center attacking. He's a center attacking midfielder. You know who I'm excited about? Who got a couple minutes today?
Suchic. Yeah, I like Suchic.
One, he's not afraid to rock the ball from 35 yards out, and he has a shot. Yeah. And you know what? He looks like he has that little R1L1 on FIFA.
You know who's got a shot, too, is Baturina.
I know.
He can score, too. I know. So it was nice to see him get a little bit of that feel. That's all I want for Hrušimić.
We don't shoot the ball enough.
Yeah, outside
from,
the box.
From outside the box. And two, I feel like we're running like basketball plays, like throwing around the point. You know, and just for that perfect spot, we never have.
Just hit it.
We just outside hit it or go. Fucking go. I was watching.
You guys know all kinds of stuff. Deflection can happen. Goalkeeper save, rebound. Like all whatever. Kinds of stuff happens when you shoot the ball.
But you know what? Obviously, I watch every minute of every Croatia game, but I was watching Argentina-Brazil tonight. Uh-huh. It was in Americana.
Yes.
In World Cup qualifying. The first ever Brazil World Cup qualifying game that they lost on Brazilian soil in the history of planet Earth.
That's crazy.
Today, Argentina won 1-0.
Yeah, Otamendi scored the goal.
But I was watching the game, and you know the South American players they play with flair. They had the whole stadium was just packed. They were playing with speed, crossovers, this, and they were taking one on one. And besides Perisic, we don't have anyone on the team that plays with that flair.
Ivanovic is for me. He just doesn't have it. He's not that dynamic winger that you need. But he's also our third choice winger, so. I don't know. It's not easy.
We'll see. He just left Dinamo for Feyenoord, then he got hurt. So he doesn't have the speed, is what you're saying.
I don't know what this whole trend is of playing the right footed player on the left wing. Like maybe it's just me. I'm old school. I like having a right footed guy on the right and a left footed guy on the left that could fucking get down line and whip balls in, man. I think
people got too much of Arjen Robben.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And everybody plays like that now.
Everybody's got the Robben disease.
They call it the inverted winger.
The inverted winger,
nice. Come on, man. Maya's got space to go down the line, but you know he's not going there because he's not going to cross it with his right.
Yeah.
So he goes right, and then he cuts back left again. I'm just like, just cross the ball.
Right.
And then you have that awkward ball kind of turning in towards the goal instead of away from the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
Let me ask you guys this. Let's finish with qualifying. Give me a grade on this qualifying from both of you. We qualified. We're in pot C, which I think is more favorable than pot B. We'll get to that in a second. Give me your overall grade for this qualifying campaign. We were basically perfect through the first four games.
I mean, I don't know.
Because we have a lot of bad, a lot of frustration, and we qualified
C
today.
C plus, B minus. I
was thinking B minus.
We made it automatically, but we were going down to the last 10 minutes where things could have gotten ugly.
I was never worried about it. I said last.
Armenia scores a goal and Wales wins that game.
Ah, yeah, big guy. We go in the playoff. What else,
guys? Wales scores a goal. Wait, hold on. Wales scores a goal in the 7th minute.
Yeah,
7th minute, and you're telling me you're not worried?
I was never worried about not qualifying today.
Listen, that chance that Livakovic saved the game. That's
I don't know.
And then we go down 1-0 early to at Maximid. Then we pump it up a little bit. They slow down in the second half.
We put ourselves
in
a very difficult situation, but thank God everything turned out.
I said 4 weeks ago after 0 points from 2 games against Wales and Turkey, I go, no problem. Wales is going to stink it up. We're going to get 6 points, and we're going to be sitting here at this table. I will pull the audio file for you, and we're going to be clinking and cheersing here. And what are we doing right now?
Bitching and moaning.
There you go, because we're Croatian, and that's what we do best.
Guys, let me just say something, though. I was thinking about this, too. Here's another little wrinkle we could throw out there. So look at what's happening in Euros, and look how many teams from what used to be Eastern European, or specifically the Balkans. Okay, so you have Albania, who's in.
Serbia's in.
Mm-hmm.
Bosnia's going to qualifying.
Slovenia's in.
Slovenia's in, too.
Croatia's in. Mm-hmm. Bosnia... There's a good chance to qualify.
Playoff,
I mean,
they're
in the playoff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, can you imagine that, guys? You're gonna have 4 or 5 teams from the Balkans alone.
Yeah.
Then you've got Romania, who's in Eastern Bloc country, mm-hmm. who won their group. I think actually
they did. They beat Switzerland today.
They beat Switzerland. Yeah. Okay, so Romania wins their group. Hungary, who won their group ahead of Serbia. You know, you have. I mean, it's really interesting when you look at how many former Eastern Bloc and Balkan countries. There's, 7, 8?
We got Albania. We got Romania. Turkey's not Eastern Bloc.
Czech.
Slovakia, both there.
Yep. Slovenia. Slovenia, Slovakia, Czech, Croatia, Serbia. And then you have a couple of playoff teams that can limp in there.
I'm telling you what, you could have 9 or 10 teams from what used to be Eastern Europe.
Okay, I will. I'm gonna come back at you going with this new 24 team format. Half of Europe makes the tournament. I love the 16 team.
I like the 16.
You know what I mean? That was pure. Yeah, that was pure. And now half of fucking Europe makes it anyway. So that debate's a little watered down. A little watered down.
That was really annoying. The 2016 when Portugal went through with three ties, I think. Yeah. And then we had to play them.
They got third place.
Of the group, and then you got to play Portugal, who couldn't
because they sunk it up in group stage against Iceland. That was that Iceland group, and then Iceland beats England
in 16. Yeah,
sixteen. That was in 16. That was the first one, right?
Iceland. What's Iceland done since 2016? Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, they really
qualified for. They were in our group 18. They qualified for the World Cup.
They did qualify.
Yeah, they were there.
That was it. They had a nice run of 3-4 years there.
Guys, I'm looking at the stats right now from today's game. How many passes did we have?
A lot. Probably over 500.
How many, Pete?
Ante, give me a guess.
It's more than 500 now.
714. I saw your phone.
You know, that would have been pretty amazing if you hit it right on the head. 714 passes.
How many did they have?
They had 358. They had less, about half than we had. We had 21 shots on
goal. Are we really talking about passes completed right now? We're talking about passes completed. This is how frustrated you were today.
That's a hard thing to do to complete 700 passes in a game. In 90 minutes, you're going to make 714 passes is a lot of passes.
What was the possession? 68%.
68%.
68? Yeah. You know, 21 shots, 11 supposedly on goal. 11.
Only stat that matters is the right 3 points. The only stat.
Yeah, we had a lot at the keeper, man.
And if Kovacic was playing, it would have been another 100 passes backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, and Label's going to kill us for this, but because he's president of the Kovacic fan club. Yeah, but that's okay. But I'm sticking to this.
I'm sticking
by this. All right, look, we qualified. In a couple months, no one's going to talk about this. Just like 18, and just like 2020, and just like every other campaign, you either qualify or you don't. And we're going to make our run in June.
It's going to be fun to see who's in our group. That's always fun, you know?
Right. It'll be fun. So the drawing's on December 2nd.
Yes.
So that's the draw. So we should. It'll be really interesting.
It'll probably be on ESPN, so you don't have to ask me where to stream it.
You guys know that more than half of that stadium is going to be Croats. There's a ton of Croats that live in Germany.
Oh, Germany.
Switzerland. Germany, Austria.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. It's going to be every Turkish game is going to be a home game for them.
That's true.
There's even more Turks that live
there.
Yeah. Turkey beat Germany in a friendly the other day, 3-2. Uh-huh. The entire stadium in Turks. Germany was all Turks. Jeez. They said it was like a Turkish home game. Yeah.
They said there's like 5 million Turks in Germany.
Yeah, there's a ton of Turks in Germany. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun tournament. You guys planning on going?
I don't know if I'll go. It would be good to go. Germany's always a good place to go host. It's like hosting the United States. Yeah. I mean, they have a good
infrastructure. What is it?
June
15th ish.
June 15th to
July 15th.
That wouldn't be a bad trip.
Combine that with Croatia, a few weeks in Croatia, you go to a couple games.
Right, you go for 1 week to Germany.
Two games,
and then you head to Croatia. Okay. I think that's a good trip.
June 14th to July 14th confirmed.
Okay. Oh, okay,
not bad.
No.
I remember for Euro 2016, we were walking around Bordeaux, and I'm like, "Hey, Zoda, what are you doing?" And we ran into each other. It was out of the blue.
Yeah, Bordeaux. That was a good time.
I just haven't been to a tournament with you, Pete. You're next. You're next because you guys went to the
World Cup
semifinal against France.
That was a lot of fun hanging out in Moscow for a week.
That was crazy.
Yeah. All right, look, let's talk about pots and seeds and all that stuff. I'm bringing it up for you boys here,
Lucy.
So we're
Lucy. Explain to me, Lucy.
Well, I know because you're today like, how the hell are we in pot three?
Yeah, no, I was a little bit shocked we were in pot three.
This is the first tournament that we are not going by FIFA rankings, and it's how you finished within points in group. So all the first place teams that finish in group, they get ranked by, you know, Portugal, France, Spain finished with 24, 23, 22 points. So they get in pot one.
So wait a second now. So it's funny. It's interesting how FIFA does. So they did nothing with how you ranked before the tournament, so you didn't use any of your rankings to help you here.
They used your Nations League rankings.
Okay, so Nations League,
they're trying to give weight to Nations League.
They did help. Nations League did help us here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right,
it did,
because I mean there has to be a reason to be ranked in Nations League.
It is now, and that's and they're giving more weight to Nations League instead of it being a dumb little tournament
because we were first in our group.
It's so if we did if we did lose today and Wales won, we would have played a pot D team. We would have played Estonia in the first leg of the playoff because they allocate three Nations League playoff nations for this.
So speaking of Estonia, it looks like Poland's going to play Estonia
in their semifinal.
So is this the last we're going to see of Mr. Lewandowski?
Probably.
They'll make it.
Mr. Poland. Why not go out in the World Cup?
European
right?
Cup, right? Yeah, European Cup.
It'll be his last European Cup.
It'll be his last European Cup.
How old is Lua?
I think he's 34 at least. Probably at least 34, there, right? 35. 33. You know what shocks me, guys? With a guy like that, okay, I mean, they don't have a lot of the other pieces they need, but with a guy like that, the fact that you, I mean, they've made it to tournaments. But the fact that you can't
they can never get out of the first round.
He's 35.
Wow. Yeah. They can never take it to that next level, you know?
No. No.
So what? They're an average team. It's the same debate as Norway right now. Where are they at? They haven't made a tournament since 2000.
They got the best forward in the world.
Okay,
right?
But if you don't have service and a team to do, what difference does it make?
It's team sport in the end.
It's not basketball.
You need 11 good players.
It's not basketball.
Yeah.
So look, all right, let's break this down. So really quickly, in pot one, because there's six groups of four teams. We got host Germany. They're going to be in A1 because they're the host. And then Portugal, France, Spain, Belgium, England.
So we're going to have one of those guys.
One of those guys, of course. Pot 2, which you're worried about because you're like, who the hell is in pot 2? This is the softest pot 2 I've ever seen in any tournament. Hungary, Denmark, Albania, Austria, Romania, Turkey. We're going to play one of those guys.
That's not bad.
I mean, who are the best teams there?
Hungary.
Hungary and Denmark.
Yeah, Hungary and Denmark.
Romania had a soft group in qualifying. They beat Switzerland today. Big deal. Pot 3, this is why I'm saying I'm actually glad we didn't that Turkey scored today to draw that game, is Netherlands, the Dutch, Scotland, Slovenia, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and us. I really wouldn't want to play the Dutch in group. What if we had France, Dutch, and us? That's trouble right there. And then Scotland's gritty.
Throw someone like Italy in there, Jesus.
Yeah, and then pot four, these three teams had the worst qualifying of anyone, but they qualified Serbia, Italy, Switzerland.
And then the three playoff teams.
And then the three playoff teams. So the hardest group we can be paired with is France, Denmark, Italy. Imagine that group.
Oh.
So
listen, I'll tell you what. Today's team doesn't get out of that group, for sure.
It's a whole new season. The tournament's 7 months away.
Guys, when we play against better opponents, it's totally different. Because better opponents will come at us. And then the game's more open. And then we can attack more. We have more space. You know, it's hard. When these teams play closed against us and they play that, you know.
Latvia bunkers, Armenia bunkers.
It's not easy to break that. Once you get that first goal, the game opens up. But until you get that first goal, you're just sweating.
But it's annoying. But look, there's no blowouts. Minus that France game the other day against, who is it, Gibraltar?
Yeah.
Fucking hallelujah. 14-0.
How many Lukaku scored the other day? He scored three goals himself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it was against Azerbaijan.
What was the final score of that game?
5-0.
That's a blowout.
I'm just saying, back in the day, I remember playing the Andorras and the San Marinos. Every game was 12-0. The Maltas, 12-0.
Right, Gibraltar, right.
I don't know. I've always found that when we play against better opponents, we raise our game.
We do.
Right?
We play better.
So Zoric, let me ask you. You got the pots in front of you. Give me the pot that Ante Zoric wants for Croatia, Euro 2024, Germany.
You know, I know that Germany's going to be at home, but I always feel like we have a pretty good record against Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their style... For some reason, it kind of sits well with us.
We beat them 98.
Where Portugal and Spain, that style does not. In France, it's just those three teams always give us problems.
Okay,
who do you
want to play from pot one?
Germany or Belgium?
Germany or Belgium?
Germany or Belgium.
What's your final answer?
I mean, Germany is at home, so.
See, I'd want Germany. I picked Germany with the caveat, but I want to play them on opening
Germany's
night.
Germany's kind of on the decline. You know, they're not playing the best football.
So you're going Germany? We just played Belgium.
Yeah, let's take Germany.
It's been a while since we played.
Let's take Germany.
Germany, yeah. It's been a while. What about you, Pete?
My group?
No, who's it from?
Who would you want?
Portugal.
If you could pick.
Portugal.
Why Portugal?
I think we could beat Portugal.
Do you know they're the last ones on our list that we've never beaten on this?
We'll beat Portugal. Like that. I just don't like
them. We owe them. We owe them for the last Euros.
We'll take them in the knockouts.
Okay. But I'm just saying, Portugal's the last major footballing country that we have not beat.
Ever.
We just beat Brazil. Yeah, we beat France in Nations League. We beat England, Germany.
And those are both Dalic guys. Both Dalic. Two teams we could never beat before.
Yeah, Portugal's the last one.
Yep.
We've never beat Portugal.
I think we'd beat
it's
Portugal.
It's time.
Okay, so I think we're going to unanimous Germany here. Huh?
Well, he said Portugal. He wants Portugal.
You want Portugal?
That's it.
You want Ronaldo?
Yeah, I want Ronaldo.
Bros versus Ronaldo?
Pot two, I don't think it really, I mean.
I'd like an Austria there.
In Austria?
Albania.
Yeah. Albania would be good too. That'd be fun.
How about?
I want Serbia.
We're not the pot four yet. We're going in order here.
We're not going to pot three. That's where we are.
But who do you want from pot two?
He said Austria.
Austria, Albania.
Okay.
I'll take one of those.
I want an Albania. I think that'd be a fun match. We just played Turkey, Romania. I don't care for Austria. We just played Denmark.
But guys, it's so weird. We always get Turkey.
Yeah, a lot.
And everything. In the World Cup, we might get Turkey again.
In 2016, we had him in qualifying and in the tournament.
We're always playing Turkey.
Can't avoid them.
Always. Any kind of World Cup qualifying, we had Turkey. Listen, it's crazy.
They've been messing with us since the 1500s, and they're still.
That's true.
2008 is still
let's,
a fucking.
Let's not talk about that. Let's go to pot four.
Pot four. There's only three teams so far. There's going to be three playoff teams added in March. But Serbia, Italy, Switzerland.
I want Serbia. I want a good old Balkan mashup.
Never played them in a major tournament.
No.
I just think we're better. I think we're a better team.
You want to have my dream? Because this is what I picked. This is what I picked for my dream on the site earlier today. Yeah. I went. Give me Germany in the group opener. Then we play Albania, and then we play Serbia in the group finale.
Serbia Albania game would be crazy.
And you know what happens? Cool. Yeah. I know that would be crazy. You know what happens? Modric with the 91st minute winner against Serbia to knock them out of the tournament.
Oh,
that's what I want.
That'd be nice.
How's that?
Wow.
How's that? And he just goes.
Little
adio.
That for him would be a great send off. I think that would be a good battle.
Okay,
I think it'd be a really good battle.
And then we'll see
who those other three teams are. You know, but hey, whatever happens, this is gonna be Modric's probably last tournament. So
absolutely.
I hope that the guys give everything for Luka.
Me too. That's I agree. I want to qualify for Luka.
No matter what happens.
Right.
Just leave it all out there.
Right.
That's it.
Leave it all out there because he has.
That's it.
Because he
do
has.
It, do it for him.
Right.
How far do you guys think we can get? We don't know
I'm
who
we're
going to play
yet.
Without Perisic.
Listen, I'm confident. I'm always confident we can get out of the group.
Perisic is our transmission.
After we get out of the group, then every game is.
If you can't get out of this group, half the third place teams go get out of group.
Well, that's the thing.
What I mean?
Is tournaments totally
half
different.
The third place teams get out of the group.
Yeah, because it goes from 24 to 16, so only eight get cut after group play.
Tournament play is totally different.
Yeah.
So, and we always seem like when we go to tournament, we seem more focused. We seem like we want to do well.
Yeah, you get focused. At the end of your season, you get the boys back together in warm weather. Like, look, they played in Latvia the other day, and it was 28 degrees. There were snow flurries. That's not soccer.
I just always feel like our guys are, I feel like they're all good friends. Like they have fun. It seems like they're a good group.
Good camaraderie.
Always.
Good camaraderie.
You know how it is. I mean, when you look at the team, I mean, there's a lot of countries that have multicultural, you know, players and stuff, but these guys all have, we all have the same history, all same, you know, all same language, all same music, all, they're a real, how do you say it? Klapa, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's the same. I say it's like a same heartbeat, same consciousness.
Well, that's the thing. Is, you're not Turkish playing for Croatia. You're they're all Croatian, you know?
Right.
And that gives us a very unique thing because we're one of the few countries that has that, like, togetherness, I feel like.
The last of the Mohicans.
Culture, history. I think it does make a difference. That's
huge.
My opinion.
Huge. I think when the chips are down, that we'll go to bat for each other. You'll go down.
Yeah.
If Modric gets slide tackle, you're going to get a Bros coming in there. Remember, we had that during 2018. You guys were there. There was that Mandžukić, that fire, that Brozovic.
I think when they put on that shirt, I think they, you know.
You know what? It's interesting that you say that, Ante, because I was listening to radio today, and you know, a lot of people talking about, you know, here they're talking about the U.S. national team game against Trinidad and Tobago last night. And
disaster.
And we lose 2-1, and Des goes crazy, and gets red carded, you know, and then like his antics and sideline behavior afterwards. I mean, there is a difference. There's a huge difference. I was born here, so I'm an American. But when I watch the U.S. national team play and I see, you know, guys like that and guys worried more about their clicks on Instagram and how many likes they get.
Yeah.
And they believe what their agents are telling them. And, you know, Dest was at what? He was at he was at Barcelona for a minute. Yeah. They figured out he was a moron and then got rid of him real quick. And then, you know.
I mean, he was one of those guys that was raised in, I think, Holland, right? Yeah, I mean, he just got a call because he probably thought, I'm never going to play for Holland.
Never play for the Dutch.
You can't tell me that that's the same as a, a guy.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
in Croatia who grows up, or even a guy like Sucic who's born and raised in Austria who's dreaming of, who's watched Modric when he was... early in his, you know, his dream is to play with Modric.
But the difference for me is, that's exactly right, Ante. So the difference for me is, and my point is, with a guy like Dest, who's not a real American.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say, listen, he's got American blood. Yeah. He can get a citizenship. But he has no respect for that jersey. Because if you had any respect, you don't get yourself thrown out of a game. You know, you hurt the whole team.
Different.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do feel like... in the last decade especially. Well, listen, ever since the 90s, right? So I feel like when the Croatian players get to wear the national team jersey, it's almost like them being, you know, upgraded to a general or
it's a real honor.
It's an honor.
It's a privilege.
There's pride there. And I think the Croatian players feel the weight of the country.
They do.
They're representing the country. And they know how important it is to the people.
They absolutely know what it means. They honestly all know on the same page what it means.
And I think that they, you know what? And I think the last, maybe not 20 years ago as much, but I think the last decade that Croatia's been traveling globally, the national team's been playing everywhere, I do think that they feel, not only for the people in Croatia, but they know how many Croatians are outside Croatia. Mm-hmm. And they know how much support they get from the diaspora. And so I think that the Croatian national team, again, they put that jersey on. It really is like going back to, you know, Roman times. It's like being a gladiator. Mm-hmm. I think they get in there.
But the funny thing is that, like, we're so, you know, proud of our team and we love watching them. But it's interesting to see that with the non-Croatians, when I speak with them, they're like, man, you guys never give up and you guys play with so much heart. And they see it.
They do. People do see it.
You know what I'm saying? It's not something that just we feel or we see. The other people.
Right.
They watch Croatia and they're like, man, these guys do not give up. They go down a goal, they do not give up.
Right.
I mean, coming from behind is not easy.
No.
Not easy. No. And we do it often. More often than we want. More often than we should.
It's too much where I'm getting texts from UP 5 minutes into the game, like, how the fuck haven't we scored already? I'm like, the seats aren't even warm at Maximita
yet. And that's the thing is I know that we have the footballers to play more attractive football.
Right.
But in the end, it's the result.
Right.
And that's what Dalic has.
He's the greatest coach we ever had.
He brought us 2 World Cup medals and very close to getting that League of Nations. Okay, that's a third rate for me tournament after the Euros and World Cup, but still he put us in a position to win that tournament.
Yeah.
In penalties.
Yeah.
So, can we play more beautiful soccer? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But would you have the same results if we try to play that beautiful attacking football? That's the question.
I think with these players coming up, I am very happy with Marko Pašalić this week. I'm very happy with his trajectory. Sucic, we know where his ceiling is going to be. When he gets integrated as a real bench player coming in the last 30 minutes of the game, I think he's going to play that fearless kind of Rakitic, Arjen Robin kind of play that we need. And then, you know, Baturina. You know,
I really want him to bring in Šimić to see what he can do. I think he's like that missing piece right now.
March friendlies.
When would you bring him in? The only time he can bring him in is in March.
March friendlies. Yeah. There's going to be 2 friendlies.
Why not?
Because the playoffs are in March, so there's going
to
be friendlies.
There's going to be 2 friendlies for us, and then we're going to have a friendly before in June, and then we go to the tournament. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
For me, he should be there before Beljo, before, you know, Petković will probably make the roster if he's healthy.
Give me your top 3 going into 2024. If you're Dalic,
I think you're going to have 4 forwards on the roster. I would take Budimir, Kramaric, Šimić, and Petković. Those 4 I would take. That's personally.
Okay, so you're leaving Beljo off. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No reason to take him.
Let me ask both of you this. Coming March, what changes do you want to see if everyone is healthy minus Perišić and Oršić, if they're not ready to go in March? What do you want to see during 2 friendlies in March? What do you want to see from Dalic and strategy and tactics and lineup? Have we gotten that far?
Perišić is not healthy.
Not healthy.
What about Oršić?
Not healthy. Sorry, not healthy. Same knee injury.
For me, Ivanušić is not the solution at left mid. Honestly, I honestly think the other Pašalić even is a better option than
Mario or Marko.
I think Marko Pašalić You know, I haven't seen him play a lot for Rijeka, but for when I do see him play, I mean, I don't know if he would work on the left side. He's left-footed, so, I mean, maybe.
Guys, let me ask you a question. Guys, I forgot about this player. Was Frigga, he was brought on for this.
Last month.
No.
He got called up.
He wasn't called up this time.
He's in Belgium.
Yeah.
He's playing in Belgium. Two or three goals.
He's coming off the bench. Coming off the bench. If you're not starting in Belgium...
But we called up guys last month.
That's how thin we were.
Bello and I mean, come on.
That's how thin we were. Everyone was hurt last month.
Budimir wasn't hurt. So he made mistakes. He called Petkovic, who was injured, and gave him 23rd, whatever, 20. He brought him off the bench.
It doesn't matter. No one got service from the wings. Budimir would have got no service last month.
I still think he made mistakes. Dalic made mistakes. He brought in the right players this time. We won the games.
We got the job done.
The question is do we have players now that can improve this team?
Yes.
And I think we do have them, but he needs to put those players, he needs to put the puzzle together. Because for me, Ivanušić, he's okay, but he's just not the dynamic winger that I like to have, that quick. He's okay with the ball, but he's just kind of slow. He's just not... I don't know.
He's not dynamic.
I want that ball to move faster. I want our wingers like Pašić to go at people, and even Ivanušić can't beat people. He doesn't have that explosiveness.
The zip, that
flare. He doesn't have the explosiveness.
Like I said, I was watching Argentina Brazil. Pašić has that.
Pašić can take you left. He can take you right. You don't know where he's going.
Pašić can.
Ivanušić is kind of... You just have that feeling he's always going to kind of cut in, you know? And it's like, I don't know. Pašić is a very hard player to defend because he's... explosive.
He goes left. He goes right. Feet. He can shoot.
He's strong.
He's good with both feet.
He's fast.
He's kind of easy. Ivanušić to me is kind of easy to read.
Okay, look. Right. This is what I'm asking both of you. You're Dalic in March friendlies. No pressure. Who do you want to start on the left with everyone being healthy minus Orsic minus Perisic? I don't think they're going to be ready. No chance in hell.
I think you have a lot of choices.
I don't want to hear problems. I want to hear solutions, guys. Where are we going with? You know what I mean?
I think you got to play Sosa.
That's left back. Sosa, what about left wing? As a winger?
No.
In front. It's hard, you know?
See what I mean? Us three are stuck right now.
We also have a guy like Domagoj Bradarić who hasn't gotten a chance, who's playing starting in Italy. So this is a guy that maybe you should try him. You know, because he could play left back or winger. I'm just trying to think, like, you know, who else could we try there? And we have Fran Tudor, who we got to know here.
When he was in LA,
he's been playing great. His team won the league in Poland. I know it's not a great big league, but he's been playing good football. So, just to see how he would fit in at right mid, that's his actual position, you know, right back or right mid.
What does Breko need to do to get you in his good graces?
Needs to score more goals in Italy.
What does Vlasic need to do?
Vlasic is a center attacking mid, so he that's where he's best. But Dalic has used him on the wing, right? Used him on the wing, but he's just not his natural position.
Mario
Pašalić is not his natural position, but he's always used there because
centrally
he's either got Kovacic or Kramaric there, right? So
guys, I will tell you, I think no matter how much you wish it, or how much you sense it, or how much you think it's better for the team, I don't think there's any way Dalic gets away without having Kovacic on the field.
I just think that he's one of those guys that, like I said.
No, I think he. I think they replicate themselves in the midfield when he's we got do to that. Start. But I mean, we have replication of the same.
I know, but you have Brozovic. Look, I think we're all on the same page. He actually slows us down.
Yeah.
He slows us down. I don't understand the logic that you're basically playing him and Modric 2-8s in the middle. Like side by side. And when I got in a fight with Romeo Jozak about this, who obviously knows way more about soccer than I do, he's like, dude, you're an idiot. They pivot against each other. But I'm like, you need one of them to attack. You need one of them to just go.
One has to be in that space between the midfield and the forward. He has to be in that space, getting the ball, turning, getting the ball, you know, passing it off. That's what we're missing. And I thought Kramaric did a good job today. I know it was Armenia, so... It's going to be good to try this against a good opponent in a friendly. Let's see what, you know.
That's the next thing. We have to play quality opponents.
Yeah, because
the Federation has
to. We won't play Estonia.
Right. The Federation has to step up. And when you play a good opponent, either you have to pay or whatever the case may be, I think good opponents will want to play us. So we should have two quality games in March.
Really perfect chance to try a couple of these guys that we're talking about and see how they fit in.
Who's on your wish list to get the most time?
I said, I want to see Roko Šimić. That's fine. Bring him off the bench. Let's see what he can do. Let's see what he offers in 30 minutes, you know, 60th minute. Bring him on.
I want to see Šimić because he can dribble.
And then I had no idea he was so tall. He's fucking like 6'4", man. He's huge.
Is he?
Yeah, but I didn't think he was because when I see him, he's like fast.
He looks.
He's got like...
I've been watching Salzburg games in Champions League.
I didn't know he was that tall, honestly. He's quick.
Look, he's on my wish list. He's 21. He can dribble the ball. Budimir can't dribble the ball. Petkovic is fucking slow as molasses out there.
He can dribble, though.
Yeah, Petkovic has great footwork.
He's got great
footwork.
He's slow.
He's slow. He doesn't press.
You would beat him in 100 meter, Pete. Look, I have him. I want to see more now from this week. I want to see more Marko Pašalić. Yeah. And I want to see more Sučić. And then you got to throw Baturin in there as well. Are you going to throw the whole U21 team out there in March?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I think Dalic is a smart guy. I mean, he hasn't done us wrong up till now. So I hope that, you know, he finds those guys that can just make this team a little bit better and a little bit more balanced. Because with Mayad on the wing, the balance is off for me. He's not a winger.
You have to play him in the center midfield.
He wants to drift in. That's just his natural thing. Pašalić, you see him. He gets the ball. He's on the line.
Yeah,
that's what you need from a winger.
He looked sexy this week. He should have scored the goal, and then he had that
the little run where he passed two guys today. I mean, for him, just coming into the national team playing with that confidence, it's nice to see.
Look, all these teams are gonna schedule their friendlies after the December 2nd draw because you're not gonna play anyone that's in your group.
Right.
But, you know, maybe we get an England or France or Spain or like a monster team. We're not going to be playing a Gibraltar in March.
People are forgetting, too. When we beat France in France, League of Nations, Budimir was our starting forward. He got fouled for the 1-0. We scored a penalty and we won 1-0. So this guy can play. You know, and if he has service, he can score.
Yeah, I agree. I miss
having a target man up top.
Me too.
And unfortunately, yes, I would love a Mandžukić, but we don't have a Mandžukić. Budimir is the best target man we have right now, and that's my opinion.
Agreed for target man. So who? It's opening match June Euro 2024. I know it's far away. Who do you think our number nine is at that time?
Listen, man. If you got a guy like Roko Šimić scoring, you know,
you think he'll be ready by that time to start in a major tournament?
I'm just saying, if he starts scoring goals like crazy and he's taking his team, you know, deep in Champions League, anything's possible.
Yeah, take the hot guy.
That's it.
Take the guy.
That's the thing with Budimir right now.
The most confident guy in the best form.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, if Belio's scoring a goal a game, man, he can go to he can go too.
Success wins.
I'm fine.
Success plays, but he's not doing that.
He's got to put it away. Okay. He's got to put his chances away.
So we're going Šimić. We're going Budimir,
Kramaric, and who else are we missing? Petković. Petković is probably going to be there.
But you have a right winger problem right now. Well, we have a left winger problem too.
Right now we do. Yeah.
You're right. Ivanušić is our third option,
and it's not good enough.
Then Kovacic. Now my head. Now going into 2024, my head's just like fucking. There's so much to figure out for next year. So much.
Yeah.
But so you know what? Guess what, guys? We could talk here, but it's not our job to figure it out.
That's true.
You know, it's
we can talk about it.
We can talk about all we want, who we want, and who we'd like to see there.
We can talk about it at the end of the day. But also, you know, I mean, it's a fair point that it's not Meyer's natural position. Right. When you put a player like Pašalić today in his natural position, you see what he can do.
And it's hard. Listen, when you're playing at the national team level, and you're playing, and again, it almost doesn't. Listen, we should always beat the Latvias of the world and the Armenias of the world. But when you're playing at the national team level and you're not playing in a position that you're comfortable in...
That you're playing at your club every day.
Yeah, that's not easy to do.
No.
It's not easy to transition.
Okay, but that's... You know how we say in Dalic we trust? For so long, he was playing Kanabinshedder number 9 and us.
Right.
Croatian sports. And the media were going, you know, stop asking me what position he plays. He's on the Croatian team. I'm going to put him there. And now where is he playing him?
Well, this is
and his more natural position. Play them where they're comfortable.
That's his.
Yeah, but I think some of that was also dictated by the players that he didn't have, so he had to put guys in a natural position to get maybe the most out of them in this tournament, especially in these last two games. You know, I think Dalic, when he has a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah,
You know,
he'll be fine. He'll be fine. June. He'll be fine going into March.
It's better to have a bigger list.
Sure.
To choose from, right, guys? And, you know, and have a healthy Orsic and Perisic. And, I think if we go into the tournament with that, then I think that we have, you know, a good opportunity to surprise people like we have in the past.
The reality is sometimes you have to sit the better player and put the guy that's in his natural
position.
Addition
by subtraction.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you put the guy that's a right winger at the right wing, instead of putting the so-called better player who's worth more on transfer market
in that
and
position.
Plays in a bigger club, throwing him out right where he's not comfortable.
Yeah.
What you do is, and what Dalic has to do and what people have to understand is for the sake of the team, he has to put in the best player in that position as opposed to putting in
the
marquee player.
2018,
right?
I didn't know who our right winger was going to be either. I knew Perisic was going to be on the left. He brought in Rebic, and the guy did a great job. I mean, we were pressing like madmen that tournament.
That's a name we haven't heard for a long time.
Yeah, he just scored.
He scored this weekend, yeah.
But
because he's been exiled,
he hasn't apologized. He never apologized to Dalic.
He's never going
to
play for the Repka until Dalic is gone.
He's a head case, man. He's crazy. Yeah. Like I've heard it from people in Split that know him personally. He says this guy is. He'll go on a bender. He won't show for practice the next day. Like, he's just...
out of control.
Yeah. You can't control him. And so, I guess...
How much did it hurt right before these last few games that Lavia said, I'm out?
It probably didn't. I think in the grand scheme of things, because it was off-field things with his attitude.
Listen, if that was his decision, he should have come to Dalic. And he should have told him, listen, don't call me. Like, I've decided that I not get the invite
and then make a
slap in the face.
Right.
No.
I think so. Right.
The way he did it was very unprofessional.
There's no way that he didn't want to be called up.
He should have reached out to Dalic and said,
right.
Because this guy went to the World Cup, he won a medal, and then when you need him most, he tells you no.
Right. That's
it was bad.
It was bad.
Bad.
I
and I'm a Hajduk fan.
Yeah.
And I'm it's very easy for me to say that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
When your country needs you, you step up.
You step up, right.
He would have started in front of Musa.
That's right.
You go play those two games. If after you talk to your wife, you don't want to pull, that's fine. But if your national team coach calls you, you go.
You go.
That's it.
No, I agree. I think Lavia made a bad decision.
But look, Dalic is a disciplinarian. Nikola Kalinic, bye. Rebic, bye.
Listen,
same thing with Levi. He does not want any cancers in the locker room, and that's my understanding of the situation.
That whole thing happened in Rijeka. The game was in Rijeka, and he didn't want any kind of drama, and that was his decision to not call him.
Right.
To not call him that time, you know, and that was his decision. And for the most part, Dalic's tough decisions have been good, in my opinion. Getting rid of Kalinic when he had to, getting rid of Rebic. These are not easy decisions. These are guys who are always in, you know, always with the team, always in the locker room to say, go, you got to go. I mean, it's not easy.
I mean, not just that, but objectively, how many tournaments has Dalic made since coming on in 2017?
Four, and we talked about this before. He took the job when nobody wanted the job.
Yeah.
It was basically suicide.
How many knockout rounds?
Going to Ukraine, having to win?
Right.
That was basically like...
Yeah,
they were waiting for him.
I heard three or four coaches said no because they're like, I'm gonna come in now, lose, and look like an idiot.
Yeah,
right.
That's basically,
and I'll be
and
gone.
The team was on low. I mean, they were right. We had just tied with Finland or something. I don't even
tied
remember.
Finland, lost to Turkey.
Yeah,
lost Iceland. Beat Kosovo 1-0.
Mentally beaten down. Mm-hmm. So for Dalic to come in and bring the guys together and go over there and win 2-0 was...
But not just that. Look what
happened.
It just
says a lot about his character, just that alone.
Four straight
Forget
tournaments.
About all this stuff.
He's made knockout round in all of them, and he's brought us...
Two medals.
Two medals.
Two medals. Out of... I mean, which is really incredible. The more,
I'm sorry. The more well, what Nations League, three medals.
Six World Cups that we've been in and three medals, that's like insane.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, wrap your head around
We've never been to a semifinal of the Euros, but we made three medals at the World Cup.
It's insane.
It is. It's crazy.
So before we get out of here, are we selfish now that now, you know, 10 minutes into a game against Armenia, we're like, why aren't we up 3-0?
Well, I don't think we're selfish. Or I think that we've raised the bar. We've raised the bar so high now. Right. Dalic has brought this team to where expectations are correct. Very high now. Correct. And I think the players know that, too. They know that.
Not just players. I'm talking our fans.
Everybody. You know? Everybody's expectations Listen, are up on that.
When they see
everybody.
When the other team sees those checkers, they're like, these guys are Ante, going deep.
Do you think – listen, look at the way Luka Modric played today. Okay, so people say, okay, you know, he's getting a little bit older, long in the tooth. He played under pressure today because he knew.
What's at stake?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he knew that he didn't want to go out like this. And he's not a selfish guy. We all know that.
Well, I'm saying, have our expectations, have they become selfish where now it's, if we're not in the quarterfinals of a tournament, disaster? Is that the bar?
Maybe for some people. But I think you know, when you take a deep breath and you look at everything, the overall picture, it shouldn't be a disaster. It shouldn't be a disaster. And every team and every nation has a transition period. And so, listen, post-Luka, we're going to have a transition period. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we might fall out of the top 20 in the world, and we might be down in the third. You know, who knows what happens after Luka, right?
But let me ask you something, Pete, and I think you were part of this demographic last month. Everything was on fire last month. Everything was on fire. When we lost those two games to Wales and Turkey.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Sure,
everything was on fire. Everyone was losing their shit. Like,
sure they were.
Yeah.
Because you, to countries like that you're supposed to win and to actually lose a game, not even tie the games, to actually lose those games in the way that you did lose those games, it's uncharacteristic for this team.
When was the last time we lost two games in a row? Like, it's been years.
2018 qualifying.
Yeah.
Years.
No, I think Nations League. We did
League
Spain
of Nations, yeah.
Right away.
Cause
no,
because we had like Spain and Portugal.
We do it.
Remember?
We lose two in a row. I don't think we lose three or four.
It doesn't happen very often.
I think right after World Cup, we got hammered by Spain 6-0. I was sitting here with you.
Yeah,
watching
yeah.
That was that depressing game.
The 6-0.
You were here, and you said you were never coming over ever again.
Yeah, because I was like, it was bad luck.
And here we are. Here we are. You're like, I'm not friends with you anymore.
No, but I don't come here to watch games anymore. I'll do this, but I won't watch games.
Yeah, okay.
It's just
that's fair. That's fair.
It's very uncharacteristic for us to lose two games, especially to inferior opponents.
Right.
You lose to Portugal or Spain, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I wouldn't call Turkey an inferior opponent. They've always been mid to B
They're
plus
tough.
In Europe.
They're always tough.
I knew there were going to be two hard games.
Wales is tricky, but we just played like shit.
We just played like shit. We showed nothing.
Right.
Toothless. Yeah. That's Pete's word. It's toothless.
You can't be.
Yeah. That's your.
You have to listen to earn your opponent's respect. They have to know that if they bunker or they make a mistake in the back, you're going to punish them. Because every good team, even if teams bunker against them, you know, they're able to punish them. Belgium's able to punish who they play the other day. Gibraltar.
Azerbaijan.
Okay, they punished them. Azerbaijan bunkered. They did the same thing Armenia did today, but they punished them for bunkering. So you get punished for playing that style of soccer. What we have to figure out, and again, I think we talked about this already tonight, the injuries and all other stuff and some craziness and playing guys out of positions. We didn't feel comfortable going at opponents tonight. We didn't these last two games. We didn't feel comfortable, you know, just going to beat guys one-on-one, taking people in the box, you know, drawing those defenders.
Listen, I do have a critique of Dalic, though. One thing I don't like about his personal decisions are all the assistants he brought on. I think Bilic,
Olic and Chorluka.
Hold on. Bilic always had Prosinecki next to him. Always had Jurčević. These guys are guys that have been around football a long time. They were coaches. They were good minds. Guys that could tell him, hey, maybe we should try this. Now, who can tell him that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Who's that? He's got Ladic next to him. Okay, this guy was a goalkeeper. All right, he's like one of his top assistants, right? And Chorluka. Then, yeah, but these guys are all inexperienced.
Olic.
Come on. These guys are all inexperienced.
They're not coaches.
They were all what I'm saying is they were all players. They're not experienced coaches.
And they were just players a few years ago. Just a few years ago.
Like, they just ended their playing careers. I think he's missing.
How much?
My opinion is he's missing one or two guys there that are, I don't know what you want to call it, more experienced than him. Maybe even, you can even say maybe even smarter. Some guys that have been around the game for a long time that can say, hey, that can maybe build a strategy, maybe tell him we should try these guys instead. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Dalic, I feel like he's making all the decisions, and that's not always good. Somebody has to be able to tell him. You know what I'm saying?
He needs the angel and the devil on his shoulder.
He needs somebody to tell him that, hey, maybe this is not the right way to go. Like, to question him. That's all.
Let me ask.
I don't think. I think all the guys on the bench now are just like, good job.
To challenge him.
Yes, man. He's got a bunch of yes men. Challenged. That's my opinion.
Well, wait a second, though. Yeah. I'll throw something out on who might challenge Dalic and who has a voice in the team. I think Luka has a huge voice in this team. I think.
Yeah, but that's not someone that's watching from the outside.
But Luka is.
Luka's not going to tell him who to start at left wing.
He's not going to tell him who to start, but I think Luka will say something if he sees things going absolutely wrong.
But I just think that there's a coach next to him, an experienced coach has to be with him to see things that he's missing. That's all I'm saying.
But we don't have that.
But that experienced coach is then the coach. Because if he brings a senior guy who's whispering in his ear, then the next thing is like, this guy's the coach.
Look, Bilic. But we don't have it. Always had Prosinecki next to him. Yes. Prosinecki went on to coach some head coach of some big teams, some national teams.
Big coach Bosna. I mean,
what all I'm saying is, Prosinecki was a great footballer, and he has a great mind. And I don't see anyone with a great footballing mind that's next to Dalic. That's all I'm saying. That's my critique.
What's your solution right now?
I think bringing guys in like Choluka and Subasic who are just friends with players, that's not an assistant coach to me.
But that's already passed.
Those are cheerleaders like,
but they're already set in.
One critique from me of Dalic. I think he needs to have. There needs to be one guy next to him. He needs to have a strong right hand guy.
Do you have a guy that you would inject into that?
I don't know. For me, very few goalkeepers are great coaches because they didn't, you know what I'm saying?
Play the game, yeah.
It's different for me.
But do you have a guy?
So Ladic is like his first guy, but.
But do you have a guy or are you just thinking out loud?
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just saying. I think that Bilic had a good crew.
He has that guy. You know who that guy is? You know who that guy is? Croatian Sports. Oh, he listens. He listens. That's level. If we say stuff 2 months later, shit changes.
That's funny.
You know.
So here's some coaches.
Yeah.
Hali Hodžić.
Okay. I feel that it's too old.
Coach, he's old.
Well, he would never be an assistant, though.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. He's a head coach.
Making 4 or 5 million euros.
He's a head coach.
Yeah. I'm just talking about...
Krunoslav Jurčić?
Listen, guys. We have a lot of good coaches in Croatia. A lot of good coaches.
But it's a chemistry thing, too. It's a chemistry. You can't just inject an assistant coach now. They're buddies. There's a half-friend, half-professional relationship to that.
For me, having... Čorluka, Olić, Mandžukić, and Subasic is having four of the same guys on the bench. What are they going to offer you as? Do you know what I'm saying? That's what we're here for, Zodic.
That's what we're here. This is not just my therapy session.
I understand
session.
Having one of those guys. Maybe
you're
two.
You're welcome, Saves. You're welcome.
You can have one, maybe two of those guys, but you don't need four or five on the bench. That's my opinion.
You're not getting paid for it, but just know you're an assistant coach, Zodic. Just know that your words do not go unheard. Just know that. I'm only 25% kidding right now.
I'm glad my Budimir propaganda has come to light.
Oh, I had the young guns text me today like, oh, Zodic is so happy. I'm on the Budimir train now. But the thing is, you ride the hot guy. Your guy scores, you're happy about it. Your guy has a shit game, get him out of there. We're some of the most extreme fans. Yeah. We won what? Basically, we went perfect the first four games of qualifying, and I was talking about locking stuff up in October, resting guys, and then we lose two games, and the house is on fire. Everyone had the fucking house on fire last month, and now what? This is what we do.
Yep.
This is what we do.
Listen, we're very emotional. We're a very emotional people. That's for sure. I just don't think that you need four assistants.
That all just ended their career
to be cheerleaders on the. You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion.
It's the boys' club.
Like you got. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
It's
like
the boys' club.
You got this Croatian coach who I didn't even really know who he was. This Pušić guy gets a head coaching job at Shakhtar, beats Barcelona. I mean, that's like incredible.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that was an assistant up till now.
But tell me, if you can get rid of those guys right now and Dalic was happy with whoever you want to put in there, who would you put in there?
I mean, it's not my job to pick his assistant coaches. I just think that he needs a guy that's very smart
I know, that, but I'm just looking for a recommendation. What's the Ante Zotic recommendation?
That can question his tactics. That can, you know, say, why don't we try this instead? Or what do you think about that? That's all.
Yeah, that's what we do. And like you guys are welcome.
Dalic putting his tactics together and nobody questioning, that's a problem. I think you should always have someone there to...
We question it. Yeah. You're welcome, Dalic. That's what we're here for. We are the checks and balances here.
I just don't know if he has someone there to...
Us.
You know?
Us. We will critique him all day. Trust me on that. We are the Monday morning couch managers over here. The armchair managers. All right, boys. Are we happy that we qualified today?
Yeah, we're happy we qualified today.
Okay.
And we got to give a shout out to our bocce team.
Oh, yeah.
The world championship.
I saw that. What do they call it in French? What's it called?
It's called bowls in France.
Bowls.
B-O-U-L-E-S.
Is it boule or
boule? I think boule. Bowls. It's bocce.
Bocce. It's bocce.
Bocce. Okay.
Yeah. But they call it bowling, basically bowls.
Bowls.
Yes, they booze. Grass, you know, lawn bowling, but they won it in France.
Cool,
it's really cool.
We win a lot of shit. We're really good at stuff.
We are.
We're good at a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So look,
some obscure stuff, but we're good at it.
It's okay. Look, we qualified. We're at the dance. Imagine how furious would the three of us be right now if we lost today and Wales won, and we'd have to go to a dumb playoff in March.
Imagine. Finishing third in that group, that's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Everyone would be calling for Dalic's head right now.
Behind Wales.
Yeah. But we're not. How furious would it be? You wouldn't have even come over tonight.
I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't have come over.
No.
Yeah. We would
have
canceled the meeting.
No. But you know what? Instead, Pete, he's awesome. He brought a party sub over.
He did.
I brought the rakia. We got a couple beers going. Yeah. Look, hey, you qualify and we get a party sub.
Did you tell me that, Ante, after when we did that last podcast where we talked about after the two losses? Somebody like messaged you and they're like, that was like therapy for me.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Oh,
yeah.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. Just talking through how we always go through these roller coasters in
this is the therapy session.
Yeah.
It's not just like, yeah, I want to build a network that people can discuss this, you know, on the message boards and everything. Mm-hmm. This is our therapy session. Just like we have the text thread through the game today, and I feel like I talk to you guys every day.
Yeah.
But like I could feel how stressed out you were today 10 minutes into the game.
I was.
You were so stressed out.
I was because I saw us falling into that same type of play. You know, playing on the top of the 18, all the pressure. We had the ball all the time, but we just didn't have...
Not taking quality shots.
Yeah, not taking quality shots.
That's what it is.
Not taking quality opportunities. Not being aggressive enough, not doing that, not taking that next step. And I kept saying, which player is going to really kind of strap him on?
We don't have an offensive alpha.
We don't have one.
Who's our offensive alpha?
Nobody.
It's not Modric. Modric is the puppeteer.
But Luka, he got pushed into that role today because I thought he forced some shots, you know, some shots that maybe weren't, you know, Luka Modric, you know, but he was forcing it because he felt the pressure. He felt the pressure that he had to do something because nobody else was stepping up.
Yeah, he was stepping up. He was trying to put one away.
That's what he does. He had that shot. Guardiola had that shot.
We were trying to get that second goal, which is good. You're trying to close that game out.
Yeah, you close
that
game out.
Because you know Armenia, one free kick, man.
Exactly. You know? Anything could happen.
Yeah.
The ball's round.
Look, we're shopping for an offensive alpha, and hopefully that can be a Marko Pašalić or a Maier wakes up in a CAM role or Sučić. Mm-hmm. Sučić is going to be the real deal. Mark my word. So Croatia shopping for that in 2024. Zoric is shopping.
We have a lot of offensive midfielders, but we just don't have a lot
no
of
wingers.
Which is weird.
No wingers, I mean, and just, we don't have a true.
And that's the thing with the national team. I mean, you know, you have what you have. You can't go out and buy a left winger.
Right.
Like you got to use what you have.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I love about international football.
It's great.
You can't just yeah.
You have that small base.
That's the beauty of it.
And unless you're naturalizing Brazilians, that's what you got.
Yeah.
All right.
which we only do once a century.
We only did that a few times.
A few times. All right, so wrapping up here, Pete, what's on your Christmas wish list for the Croatian national team for next year? What's the biggest thing we need to work on?
Health.
Health?
Health. Be healthy and be ready to go.
Okay. We obviously can't have any more injuries.
No. And listen, guys, we're not a young team. So I'm looking at the guys saying, hey, get through your spring seasons. We're playing all over the world. We're playing in good leagues. We're playing in competitive leagues. Our guys play hard. That's the way they play. And I just want to go to the cup healthy. I want Perisic. I want Orsic. I want all the tools we have available to us.
You want health and happiness.
I want health.
That's a good holiday. That's a good Christmas wish list, yeah, right there. That's proper.
I mean, health is always a good Christmas wish list, but I want health and I want intensity. I want you listen. You know, we're called Vatrani for a reason.
We don't have that intensity up the flanks. We need to increase that speed just one throttle up.
We don't have that explosiveness. That what do you call it? Dynamism. I don't know what you call
that. That killer first step. We don't have that.
Yeah, that
intensity. Intensity.
And that partially showed that he does have that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Play him in.
You know, it's funny when he passed those two guys. Mm-hmm. I was like, why didn't he keep going?
Yeah.
There was nobody in front of him. Like I know. He was looking for a pass.
And he had that one. And he had that one chance on the back post where he hit it with his right. Where I'm like, man, you're left footed. Like all you do is one touch back, and the goal is there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's nervous. It's his first week, and he's going like, fuck, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the ball hog.
But he, you know what? Somebody needs to do that.
We don't have a ball hog on the team.
We don't.
Kama is though. When he gets that ball at his feet, sometimes he touches.
It's
left,
a bit of a stretch.
Right.
We don't have a ball hog on the team.
He's tricky. He's tricky when he gets that.
Every
ball
team's team. Allowed one ball hug.
You should have two or three.
I'll take two or three. But, you know who we didn't talk about was just real quick. I thought Brozovic had a very good game today.
I thought he played
fantastic.
Well,
he was very poor those two games.
I also think one of
our worst players.
But when you don't talk about your CDM or your defenders, that means they had a good game.
He
was all over the place.
Let's think about him today. He was taking shots today.
Yeah.
Because he knew the pressure was on.
Yeah.
I thought that one was going to rattle in when he hit it first time. I mean, he kind of slid into that ball. I didn't even know how
he hit it.
He hit it hard.
He's still fucking awesome. He from what I saw, besides October, he really hasn't lost a step at Al Nassr.
No. We're going to find out, guys. We're going to find out the groups. It'll be fun to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Should we go on after the groups for the last one of 2023?
Yeah, we can do that.
I know. I was going to ask you what you wanted on your Croatian Christmas wish list, but I know what you want.
An assistant coach.
I'm going to wrap it up. I already know. Everyone knows already.
I say we put fucking the names of Olic and Mandžukić and Čorluk all in a hat, and one's got to go, and you bring in a real coach.
But guys, wait a second. Wait a second. Let's think about this. Can you put two coaches in one room, two Croatian coaches, a guy who's a real assistant who's going to want to be an assistant? That's the problem. That's the problem with that.
Listen, Bilic had Posinečki and Jurčević on the bench, and they both became head coaches after that. So you and Asanović too, who's for me is a very smart guy.
Yeah,
very smart guy. Who also, I mean, did a little bit of coaching, but let's see what happens.
All that talk, and Zoric comes up with, "I want a new assistant coach, not a new head coach."
That's something on Twitter that nobody's ever mentioned. That's revolutionary.
I can't wait.
I want a new assistant with a clipboard.
I always have a good time with you boys.
And a pen behind his
ears. I always have a good time with you boys. Look, Pete, you brought a party sub. That's all I got to tell everyone out there. You brought a fucking...
You brought the rakia.
I brought the rakia. That was the Domača. That was straight from Gorica.
The real stuff.
That's
absolutely.
My mom's brother.
The Gorica. It's still Gorica in my gut right now.
Yeah. You feel it?
No, I like it. I think it's great.
You want a little more?
Maybe.
Let me get some more.
Not on the air.
What do you mean not on there? They can't see you. We're not Elon Musk on...
They can smell me.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you some more. Tell them what bottle are we drinking it out of?
It's a typical Croatian smuggle in bottle. Is it some kind of Yamichka water?
No, it's Jana. Jana.
It's Jana.
Jana.
It's Jana. It's not the big quart size bottle, the 1 liter bottle that your mom tapes the whole cap on. So it doesn't fall off in the suitcase.
My uncle gave me a small bottle. He's mad at me because I didn't wish him a happy Easter.
I didn't
get the 2 liter, Yana. I didn't get the Coca-Cola.
How about mid-70s? We're coming back from Croatia, and my mom loads up my suitcase with all the stuff, like prosciutto and rakia. And this is pre, like, you know, x-rays and stuff like that. But they had dogs. So we get into JFK, and I was a teenager. And my bag is literally dripping. It's dripping rakia. A rakia bottle
I've
broken.
I've had that happen with my dad's head too.
Rakia bottle.
It smelled like shit.
Guys, the whole airport smelled like sanitizer. Oh, the whole airport. And this fucking dog comes running from 100 miles away. And like right on my bag. And the guy asks me and looks me straight dead in the eye. And he goes, "Do you have anything in that bag?" And I look him dead in the eye and say, "Absolutely not."
And that was that. Be on your merry way.
And that was that. And I kept going. I just kept walking.
God. Unbelievable.
I kept walking.
That's really funny.
Well, listen, cheers. Cheers. It's fun being cheers, Croatian guys. With cheers. You boys.
Yep. Cheers, guys. Cheers.
We qualified. We're going to get Zoric an assistant coach to health and happiness over there. And for Ante Zoric, for Pete Novakovic, Ante Kvartucher, Matt Lebo out there, we're going to get you on the next show.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving for everyone here this week. And, hey, we qualified. We're at the big dance, and we're going to see who we get December 2nd. And we'll do better next time. Ed, la cu noche.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, guys.